Oh, there it is.
There we go.
All right. So basically we need to go through, just quickly maybe just go through the PowerPoint, make sure everybody's okay with that, and then obviously spend most of the time on the concept maps. Does anybody care which we start with?
I thought the PowerPoint looked great.
Yeah, thank you for listening. As far as I can tell, I mean, there's no errors. Is there anything that anybody had any comments on?
Well, we still need to get the number of students for the slide on next steps. And I'm imagining just doing like a grand total once we know what it is. Right now we're kind of itemizing until everybody fills in.
You might not need to put that into this. You know?
That's a good point. That could be the type of verbal thing we could add if we needed.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really...
Yeah, because it's you're not actually, you haven't done that yet. So even if you have a number of students, it's tentative.
Yeah.
We need to change the title to match what's in the email that Bob sent us yesterday. I noticed that the titles don't match.
Okay, so change title.
Good catch.
Okay, that's a minor thing that I can
do.
All right. So, Hurley, you were just worried about, you wanted to put a grand total on next steps?
Yeah. If you look at the next step slide, it says something like, written responses to sampling instrument will be evaluated for approximately, and I imagined it saying something like, 200 students. And then I kind of inserted, well, I'm going to have 100. Tara inserted that she's going to have between 40 and 60, so we can start to calculate that grand total. But then I need a total from you, and I need a total from Jackie.
So you just wanted to give people an idea of how many students we're all going to have?
Yeah.
Is that the idea?
And
okay.
Yeah, that was really the idea. But maybe we could just...
Yeah, we're really going to have to ballpark that, because really we have... I really have no idea. I mean, I know how many students I'm going to have. I have no idea how many I'm going to have participate.
Right. So maybe we just say written responses to sampling instrument will be collected, and then from these individual interviews may be conducted with a select group of students.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to make the edits to this now that this is hard copy? Well, not hard copy, but you know what I mean, not like Google Docs.
I suppose that's going to, I can do that since I'm
okay.
The one apparently that's going to put the background in and all sorts of fun stuff. So,
yeah.
And actually I'm looking at it right now, so why don't I just do that. All right, so we'll be evaluated, say that again, Herla, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say we'll be, just stop it at evaluated.
Okay, so then just get
and
rid
then
of.
And then just say either evaluated or collected. I might change that word to collected. I don't know if anyone has a strong preference.
Do we want to say when? Do we want to say we're piloting the sampling instrument during fall 2010 and then written responses will be evaluated for students during the whatever semester?
I don't know how
to decide when we were piloting or doing.
Well, that might be a good idea because I have seen studies like this pick up new sites at JSM from the audience. And so if people have just roughly a sense of when you're looking for things, you might get one or two people adding in their students if you're interested.
Fall semester 2010. After I get all this all done, I'll make sure I send this out to you guys. And if you don't like any of the formatting or anything, you can... Yeah, let me.
Awesome.
Okay.
And then the other thing is in the second minor bullet, so the last bullet on that slide.
Yes.
I would just say from these individual interviews may be collected with select students.
May be collected.
Or conducted with select students.
May be conducted.
Sorry, so you actually don't need to change.
With a select.
I would just say with select students. Don't need A in there.
Well, maybe conducted with select.
Hello.
Students.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I was just checking to see if I was connected.
You are. What are you looking for?
A conference on capstone projects.
That is not until next week.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Convenient that you knew the answer.
Convenient that I'm doing that.
Look at Herla.
I did mildly freak out going, oh my God, is that today?
All right, so it reads, since I'm assuming you guys can't see this since it's on my computer, from these, individual interviews may be conducted with select students to explain or expound on interesting responses.
I think that sounds good.
Okay. All right, and of course I'll send it out anyway after I make a couple minor changes just to make sure there's nothing that I messed up. All right, anything else that anybody saw or thought needed to be adjusted?
The only other thing I thought of, and this doesn't necessarily have to be adjusted on the slide, but more as you're talking,
okay.
The research goals and questions slide is very text-heavy right now because it's our complete question.
Okay.
And I'm still a little concerned about timing in this presentation.
Okay.
I think we only have like 15 to 20 minutes, isn't that correct?
Yes.
And then I can't remember whether that includes question. Is it 20 minutes including question time? It means
usually it is. From my recollection at past JSNs, we really have just a 20-minute period to do our thing.
So one thing I would suggest, and Lee, since I'm going to be the other person in the room, if you want someone to talk over this with, I would at minimum have a separate set of notes for yourself that highlights in a minute or less what it was you wanted to say about that slide.
All right. Oh, trust me, my cats are going to get several renditions of this.
Awesome.
And apparently we're supposed to do a run-through at the dinner on Monday night. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So if it really does, if it goes poorly, which it probably will, given my first run-through, you can kind of make notes, because you'll hopefully be there, right?
Yes, I will definitely be at the dinner.
And I'm assuming some of the RAB members will be there too, and
yeah,
everybody
I'll be
else.
Yeah.
So yeah, if there's things that are just not going smoothly, or you can give me lots of feedback, and I will try to.
And actually, if things really, if I don't actually believe you that things won't go well at the dinner, but if they don't, we could actually meet in between before the session.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Okay, but I'll keep that in mind, Herla. That that is kind of text heavy and.
It would be too much for people to kind of process, and I think it would even be too much for you to read. So I think we should try and have
a shorter
summary of this is the gist of what we're doing, and then maybe we could leave the text up there. But I don't even know if people have time to read it all.
How about if we just delete the first paragraph? That could tie in with the last line of the review of literature slide, where we say we're looking for evidence of belief bias in sampling. Then you could just say that you could summarize that first paragraph out loud and then get the two specific questions on the slide.
I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
On the proposed methodology slide, it might be good to put in a step one, step two, sort of at the beginning of some of the lines, like you have in the later slides, so that you're introducing the step one, step two ideas with those words before you start talking about them.
Okay, sorry. Say that again, Felicity, because I was fixing it.
Sorry. On slide 7?
Yes.
Bullet 1, I would put in step 1, colon, at the beginning.
Okay.
And then kind of bullets 2 and 3 are step 2, right? Basically what I'm thinking is that it would be good to introduce steps 1 and 2 together before talking about them individually. And I think that's the slide to do it on.
On step 2, right now it's for a second time, that is a mix of questions that use Goodman. Determine a student's abilities. All Yeah, the first two bullets are sort of our, you know, procedure, and then step three is kind of the assessment.
Right, but the opinion survey, yeah, I don't know. I think that would be a good place to sort of say step one, colon, and then list something about it in step two, colon. Because otherwise people see step one on slide 8, and then they don't have an idea of where you're going with that for step two until slide 13.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, we have a step one, and then we don't get to a step two until many slides later. Okay.
And then is the third bullet, does that kind of more correspond to next steps even? Or do we just leave that? It could either go under step two, or it could maybe be titled next steps.
So well, it could just, I mean, it depends on how step two goes. I'm thinking of it as sort of the analysis for step two.
Yeah.
But I'm biased. I see everything as analysis.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think of it as a step so much as a, this is like, I don't know how to explain it necessarily, but more of an, what Felicity said, analysis or an assessment of everything that we've done. It's kind of the end goal of what we're trying to do.
Well, we could just call it analysis then, or just leave it unlabeled.
Or maybe say, sort of combine the second and third bullets using selected context, write and administer a second survey that is a mix of questions that use good and bad sampling techniques in order to determine if. That's really long and wordy, but. Because the second bullet is a how-to, and the third one is sort of the goal of the second step.
Could we just make it a minor bullet?
Yeah, that was my going to be my next, like a sub-bullet.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, slide 7, we'll put a sub-bullet in on determine. Okay. I'll just make a note of that and fix that later. Okay. Step 1, 2, step 7, slide 7. Okay. I keep forgetting we're recording all this, so I can go back and listen to it. Okay. Anything else? Any other notes anyone has?
I think it looks really good. Thanks for putting this together, Tara.
Yeah. No, I think it's a very good PowerPoint. I just have to present it now. Okay. All right. So I think if everybody's fine with the PowerPoint, I will make the changes, send them around later. So we'll move on to the concept maps.
I put mine on Google Docs with you guys. I didn't send an email, but you should have access to mine, too.
Oh, okay, so everybody's in Google Docs. All right, save this. Wait, where is that saving that? All right, well, I just saved that, but I have no idea where. But all right. Anyway, I'll find it later. Okay, so now I have to find Google Docs. Okay, so I have... Oh, there we go. Wait, lit review, concept map. I have Lee, CM, and then I have a presentation. Maybe I got to refresh this.
Yeah, try refreshing. I did it right before the call started. It should be there. It said it was shared.
Perla, do you have it?
I do. It's called Lit Review Concept Map Para, PDF.
All right, apparently it just doesn't like me.
Maybe I did the wrong email again. I think it may. Maybe I shared it with somebody. I don't know.
It's lvflosson@mac.com.
You know what? It's lflosson@mac.com. That's what I did wrong.
Uh-oh. Oh, good.
So somebody has access to
All right. Well, then, okay.
I noticed it actually on mine, it only says that it's to 5 collaborators, so I wonder if that's just not a valid email address.
Yeah, I don't think there
is. Maybe.
Yeah, LV. So yeah, put a V.
Flosson@mac.com, right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see if it worked this time. Now that I typed in the correct address.
Sorry, the page or document you've requested is not available.
I have it. I can open it.
Well, oh, can you send it to me at felicity.enders@gmail.com? That might be the issue.
Oh, wait. All right, I got an email from Tara.
Oh, yeah, Felicity, I sent it to your...
to my work,
whatever,
yeah.
Email, yeah.
Yeah, it's
an email, too.
It's saying it, the page you have requested is not available.
I can see it. Herla, you can see it?
I can see it.
Well, it just likes Herla.
I just emailed you the address that hopefully will work for me.
Okay, so
which email did you send it to? I have like 3 emails open on my computer right now. You send it to my ACC email?
sunnyaccount.edu. Sunny, sorry.
Okay. That one takes like 10 minutes before I'm able to see anything that comes to it, so... Why don't we talk about the others while we're waiting for you?
Yeah, we'll see how that... Okay, so... just because I don't want to go. Herla, do you want to... Did you want to say anything about your concept map?
No, there's a lot, a lot going on here. So basically what I did, I started in the center, the darkest blue circle that the lines kind of radiate out from. That, to me, was the overarching goal of, that's kind of our overarching motivation, our overarching goal in our entire research project. And then what I went and do, the way I came up with kind of the 4 quadrants that radiate off of that was I started looking at research papers, and I went back to our Google groups, and we had a list of a lot of the papers we had read. I don't think it is all of the papers we've read, but it's most of them. And I started with that and then just pulled out those papers kind of one by one and went through and looked back again at what I had highlighted, the notes I had made in the margin, and what I thought the most salient points were. And I literally just wrote those down on sticky notes and started to collect them and then started to move them around into piles that made sense to me. And that's where these big ideas came from. So in each quadrant, there's a slightly darker blue circle, which is kind of, it tells you then what that quadrant is about. And then the other lightest blue circles that come off of that are the big ideas. And then, of course, the squares are the articles that that discuss those big ideas. And I did some color coding like we had seen in some of the examples Holly Lynn had showed us, where I kept track of, you know, what were research or empirical papers, I think is what you called them, Lee. Which were review papers, and which were more theoretical papers. So in my mind, a theoretical paper was, it didn't have new empirical evidence and it wasn't discussing old empirical evidence. It was literally just a statistics educator kind of talking, waxing philosophical, like Rossman's paper about one statistician's view and Danny Benzie's paper, or it's actually, I think it might be a chapter. Again, it just seemed to me to be kind of there opinion and perspective almost.
Yeah, I think there, one of the confirmation bias papers that you've got was the Lilienfeld, maybe it was Nickerson, where it was literally just kind of, I mean, that was my definition of a theoretical paper, was just kind of a lot of definitions of what exactly is confirmation bias, and that was more my definition, but go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay. Well, we should at some point, I guess, when we are trying to collapse these into one, and maybe it won't turn out to be too important for our lit review. I'm not really sure. But I think it's kind of interesting to look and see, like, okay, where do people actually have some type of evidence versus where is it more just ideas? So I think it's kind of useful for us in seeing where the maybe gaps in research are, but I don't know if that's the type of information that we need to translate into a paper.
I think that's a good thing to capture for motivation for this study.
Okay. So then at some point we will have to agree on our operational definitions of these categories, if these are the right categories to have.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my main goal when I was separating papers out, is just, was it an empirical study versus something else? So I think you and I kind of did the same thing, just maybe had slightly different ideas of our definitions.
I separated out review because I feel like in a review paper they still have some sort of evidence. It's just not new evidence, so to speak. It's not their own.
Yeah, they're compiling.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why I separated out those. And I may have actually lifted those categories directly from one of the examples that Holly Lynn showed us.
Ah.
I think that's where I originally got the idea for those three, and then they kind of made sense to me that these would be things you would want to distinguish. And I guess in terms of forming this into a paper, I think the things on the left half of the paper, the role of context and the prevalence of expectations, experience, and intuition, would kind of form the meat, so to speak, of the paper in terms of really motivating what our problem was, whereas the things on the right side of the paper, general notes on sampling and miscellaneous notes, were things that all stuck out to me in the papers. There were things that I thought were interesting and noteworthy, but they don't necessarily lend themselves directly to our thesis or our hypothesis in our research study. You know, some of them are definitions, which will be very important to note, but it's nothing more than a definition. It's not the meat of our argument. So that's kind of how I imagined this. So that's how I organized it and how I imagined it unfolding into a paper.
Okay. So you actually do have a lot of cross, because, I mean, that was the problem with mine is that, I mean, why mine's such a mess is because I've got arrows all over the place with, you know, my big ideas. Everything's connected to different big ideas, and there's crossover, and so you heard somebody giggling. So you actually do have a lot of the same articles on the, like, Connell and Higgins is in both. It's in all three. So... okay. You're just much more organized than I am. Do you remember, because actually this is on our PowerPoint slide, and I've been meaning to ask somebody this, the Schwartz et al. Article, I don't remember that one at all. I don't know why. And I didn't have time to look it up last night.
Okay, so I have very little information on it. It says, the title is Aligning Every Day in Mathematical Reasoning, the Case of Sampling Assumptions. And I think, again, it might be a chapter.
Aligning Every Day, okay. Because obviously we felt it was important enough to put in the PowerPoint, so that is certainly something I need to go back and read if I don't even remember.
Well, they do talk directly about the role of context in assessing sampling methods, so I think that's why it made the PowerPoint.
Context.
So basically what they said, hang on, I have to find it. I collapsed all my sticky notes, so I don't have their direct quote now. Let's see if I can find the article, too. But I think they basically showed examples where understanding of context changed, or understanding changed. Yeah, here we go. It is a photocopy of a book. It's chapter 9, whatever the book happens to be.
Okay.
I have the reference on my thing.
Is it on yours? Okay.
That would be great.
Then I'll look at that.
Holes in mine. Oh, and this... the thing that struck me about this is they had the example where, I think Tara actually describes it nicely in hers. They have an example where it's purely a problem with probability where you want people to recognize that the probability of A always has to be at least as large as the probability of A and B. And when you ask it in kind of that language, people see it and they get it. But if you give them a whole backstory and give A and B real world meanings, they don't.
Okay, I remember that now. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'll still go back and look at it, but yeah, now it's Mickey.
Yeah, that's right. That's Tara's under her context 2A.
Context 2A. Right. Arguments for contextualizing method and culture. Yeah, I finally got it open. Okay. Yeah, now I remember that now. Okay. Okay.
Felicity, I added you to mine, too, so you should be able to get in. I added the other email.
So, just doing my moderating job here, was there any other comments that anyone wanted to make on Herlow's concept map? Going once, going twice. All right, well, since we just talked about Tara, and I don't want to talk about mine, why don't we take a look at Tara's, since it seems like we got it up now.
Can you access that now, Felicity?
Felicity?
Oh. Sorry, my mute button was not working for me. I can't find the links. Can someone send them to me again?
Are you logged into Google Groups?
I'll do that now.
If you click on Documents, everything that you have access to should show up there, so you shouldn't need to link to it directly. You're going to have to zoom in for mine.
I got it.
Upload very nicely. I took a different tact when I did mine. I started reading a lot of the references that were in the article that Herlow sent out earlier in the week, the Monroe article, and it seemed like a lot of them were directly related to what we're trying to do.
Oh, okay.
So, like the Lord and All paper, there are actually a few others that I looked through that I didn't include on here. So what I did was I organized it the way that I would write if I was going to write it. So I'd start with an introduction of why we thought that sampling and statistical inferencing were important. And so that's my little blue box. And then the support for using context is the 2A, why do it, and then, but based on what we had seen, there were some unintended consequences, which was my 2B, and then the purple is why might we see those unintended consequences. So the confirmation bias, the belief bias, and then other studies that fell into those two categories. That was kind of the way that I would see writing it up, but that's a little different than what Herlow was saying, where she didn't see the purple stuff as being directly contributing. So that's interesting.
Well, actually, I meant like the definition of this is what confirmation bias is. I purely meant the definition, not the studies that talk about when it was seen and those types of things. So like definitely the Kaplan article is a key part of our argument. But the definition of this is what belief bias is, I was thinking of as, you know, just really background information. That's all I meant there.
Okay, I misunderstood.
Because I have, when you look at mine, like I literally have a bubble that just says belief bias is reading the strength of arguments. And that I see as more background, whereas Kaplan's study itself and what she found I see as more neat.
Well, yeah, and we put in the PowerPoint that we were kind of taking what she had done with experimental design and we're taking that and looking at it and sampling. So I think actually that is a big piece of it.
Yeah, the Monroe article, I didn't think it was as directly related because they were looking more at whether or not people stop believing in the scientific method completely. But some of his references I thought were really good. And I thought there were some quotes in Monroe that were good, too.
Yeah, I have to admit, I actually haven't looked at it fully since I sent that email out. But it sounds like that's something we should all take a look at and take a look at some of the references.
The other one I pulled from there was my Allport, which is under confirmation bias. That's actually a book, and I just read through the chapter that he talked about on Google Books. and I pulled some quotes out of it that I thought were interesting and that were kind of went along with what we were trying to do.
I really like having quotes on this. I think that's very helpful for sort of both getting the gist of it and probably for writing later on.
Yeah, no, I really like this because it explains a little bit more. And I like that you have Guys, because, you know, we've talked a little bit about Guys 2010. Is there an updated?
That was the one I found when I looked yesterday. I was looking for the quote that went with it, and I found one that Aliaga put out in 2010 with a bunch of people. I actually think Joan Garfield was
the person
in charge of the team. Yeah, that was the one they had on the website yesterday anyway, when I was finishing this.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, because we've talked about the fact that some of what we're doing is a little counter to what they're proposing.
Right.
So I like that that's on there.
But I wasn't as broad as Herla. Herla, I think you did a really good job summarizing everything, and I didn't really do that. I kind of pulled what I thought would be applicable from the articles, but I liked how you did, you did everything.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. We did take very different approaches, and I liked them both. For me, I wanted to summarize and synthesize, because otherwise I can sometimes get too stuck in, you know, the way the author said it. And the next thing I know, I'm bordering on plagiarism, because it's just,
right.
Like, I've gotten too familiar with it. And so yeah. I was really trying to synthesize, but I like the quotes here again, because it is useful to be able to go back and look at them sometimes. I really like the layout, and I think a lot of what I have would either is a part of this already or would fold nicely into the layout that you have. So even though we took very different approaches and they look very different, I think they're actually nicely complementary. Or they nicely complement each other. So I think taking the two together would certainly help. And Lee, hopefully it's not too, hopefully what we have seems to fit in with what you were seeing as the big pictures and the big themes. Too.
I we can briefly look at mine if you really want to. Where is it? I did just trying to do something where I had the big ideas and then just trying to connect up each article, what of the big ideas each article hit. And I think, you know, I had my big... What were my sample, representativeness, inference, belief bias, confirmation bias. Where is my other? Where is the stupid thing? I'm trying to think if there's anything else in there that I missed. Context. I mean, I think you guys have hit on all that. There's nothing in here that, you know, you guys have got. So I don't think that mine really adds anything.
What's the, you have some that I don't, what's the Coria K-O-R-I-A-T?
That was actually in the Nickerson article. Quote, that page that I threw up where we had just kind of a place to throw up ideas for the concept map and the literature review, I thought there was a really good quote about confirmation bias that came out of the Coriat article. I haven't actually found the article, but it was attributed to Coriat. So if you go to Google Docs and we go to the ideas for concept map lit review, it's like the fourth quote down. I just thought it was a very nice explanation of what confirmation bias is. But I mean, we've got several quotes directly from Nickerson. I just kind of like that one as well. They tend not to seek or perhaps even avoid information that could be considered counterindictive.
Is that Coria, K-O-R-I-A-H,
yes.
Maybe? Did he mistype it? Because I think I read that article yesterday.
It's always possible. I am the queen of typos. I don't have the Nickerson.
Because I read something that had that almost that exact quote in it yesterday. I didn't include it because I thought it was represented elsewhere, but...
Yeah. No, it's possible I missed a letter there.
it could just be that there's two people who have really similar names.
Studying the same
there's
phenomenon.
Also that. So do we feel like we like... Do we like the layout of Terra's and that we get a little bit more with the detail? Because obviously the point of this, we do have to come to a consensus on one concept map for the assignment for JSM. So we have to sort of combine these into one somehow. That was sort of the feeling I was getting, was that we kind of like the idea of having a little bit more detail.
Have you guys looked at any software for doing this?
I just did it in Word. I don't think Inspiration's going to give anything better.
Well, the only thing I'm thinking of is, I know some of the software packages, you can essentially make each thing clickable to expand or contract. And what I'm kind of thinking is that I really like the layout in terms of the quotes on this one, but it might be easier to read the connections between things without that, although that probably wouldn't work so well for JSM. Never mind.
Are we showing hard copies of these, or is it going to be on the computer?
Probably do both. I'm sure computer will be used, but you can probably do hard copies as well if you choose.
Because if it's going to be on the computer, we could just do a PowerPoint, and we could do when we overlay something, the more detail pops up. That would be really easy to do, I think.
That's a good idea.
And I'm wondering if we couldn't combine Hurlows with what I did, where we have Hurlows where it has, you know, like each of your four pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we overlay it, it pops up the... kind of the format that I did with more information.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea, because you could kind of take the boxes that I have for the articles, and if you could make those bigger, you could put specific quotes in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that would be nice. Yeah, my only concern with, like, Terra's being, like, up on overhead, that is a lot of text to try and read. Like, I'm having trouble reading it on my computer right now.
Right, and that's the advantage of having it pop up, is that you can sort of give the main interconnection picture, sort of the big points, and then, you know, pop something up if it comes up, or maybe highlight a few points without having all of it on there.
Hmm. So does somebody know how to do that?
Yeah, I do. I also have 11 chapters that I've been assigned for this week for my classes.
Well, I could either time.
I had to go silly on sound, but they won't go there.
Well, I could either work on something in PowerPoint or try and use one of these, check out one of these mapping tools. I made a list of the software that Holland suggested, but I haven't actually looked at them.
Google I know that. Inspiration is free. You can get a free...
Yeah.
But I don't... I haven't used it in a while. I used it when I was in... for some of my classes. I don't know. I'm still struggling with how to nicely tie everything. Try to tie them together. I think you're right, Harlow. They complement each other, but I don't know that they tie together very nicely. I mean, I can play around in PowerPoint and see if I can get the pop-ups. I've done them a lot. I just haven't done them recently. When do we want to have this done? like absolutely positively in finalized form.
It doesn't need to be absolutely and positively finalized until Monday, August 2nd, Bob. It's
30. When are you guys leaving the
activist meeting?
I'm sorry, what?
I said Lee and I can work on this during the cause activist meeting.
Oh yeah, no, we're gonna have some time.
When are you guys leaving?
I'm leaving July 31st. I pretty much travel all day.
Yeah, same here. So,
so that's a week and a half from now, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I can attempt to work on this. I'm just starting from a slightly backwards position because, you know, I'm having issues with Word, and I don't know how to do the pop-up windows in PowerPoint. It'll take me a little bit longer to figure out how to do all that. But I'm more than willing to give it a shot if somebody else wants to also, you know.
I can help. My design of experiments professor gave us 7 chapters to read and problems to work on for Friday this week.
That's
a lot. It's 200 pages of textbook.
I think this could be done with comments.
You think what?
I think this could be done with comments in PowerPoint.
Comments in PowerPoint.
So if you have, I'm just experimenting as we talk, and I've created a text box with some text in it, and then I highlighted the box and did insert comments. And it has what looks like a little yellow post-it where I can type in some text. And then when I click away from it, it just looks like a little post-it next to the box. And if I hover over the post-it, the comment comes up.
Does it work in slideshow mode?
Good question. Let me see. Oh, no. All gone.
Yeah, that's what I have. I think the way that do it is it will have to be an animation, and it will have to be a box laid over another box that's set to come up when you mouse over it.
Yeah, you know what, though? This is an informal group. I think it's okay to do it, like if we just hid the things on the left and right side and just did it in PowerPoint without, have a single slide where they can see the toolbars, or maybe we could take them away. I think it would be okay, and it would be certainly faster than doing animations. I just think it's not a lot of time.
In terms of sharing or in terms of actually doing?
In terms of
creating or sharing?
The doing, preparation before JSM.
Oh, the doing, that's nothing. I do animation all the time. That won't take long to do. If I know what we're doing, I can easily set up the animation. I used to teach PowerPoint and Word classes and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm pretty...
So show me at JSM what you're doing.
I'm not going to JSM. I don't have funding. I'm only allowed $900 a year on travel.
Yeah, I think that's a big problem this year.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who can't go.
Yeah. Plus, my classes don't end until next Friday. I have 4 hours of finals next Friday, so...
Well, okay, how about this? Are we going to do perhaps Herla's layout? Did we decide we kind of like Herla's shorter boxes, and then we're going to have the pop-ups? Is that what we liked? I mean, how are we going to do the layout, the basic layout?
That's what I was trying to, because I don't see how, in terms of layout, I don't see how the two tie together.
Okay.
Earl, how were you seeing them tied together?
I'm not sure. One idea I had, I don't know how well it would actually work. We'd have to try it out. But one idea I had was we could kind of present mine as the big picture overview and then talk about it in that sense and include some of the quotes and some of the articles in there, and then show, or some of the quotes from these specific articles in there, and then show Tara's, or maybe a slightly less text-heavy version of Tara's, if we pull the quotes out, as, you know, after we got all these big ideas, this is how we could organize them into a paper. And I think, so they are complementary. What we have to see is how well they could mesh, how well we could kind of take my big ideas and put them into Tara's paper format. I'm wondering if we really kind of have, if we have the same ideas and we're maybe saying it in different ways, so do we maybe just need to change titles, or is it more substantial than that? I'm not really sure. So that's why I say I might need to actually try and get my hands in there and see. Should that be what we do next? Should we each try and come up with a way to mesh these, maybe even, again, independently?
And maybe that's a good idea.
I'm not sure what's worth in terms of, if it's worth it in terms of repeating effort or in terms of, or I guess not worth it in terms of repeating effort, or if it's worth it in terms of getting, you know, different perspectives.
Well, I think the, if I'm looking at mine, I think the purple stuff that I have will tie in with what you have pretty easily.
Right.
I mean, that would just be a matter of doing the, okay, when I mouse over the box, the quotes pop up.
Right.
The stuff that I don't think is going to tie in as nicely is the piece, my blue box, I don't think is going to tie in easily to what's there, and my why do it, the why do we use the context. I think that's going to tie in as well.
I think, so the way I see that on my map, the why do it is in the left, the upper left corner, the role of context in the discipline of statistics. Those were all articles that talked about the importance of context. And then the 2B, the unintended consequences, I think are the other part of that quadrant, the role of context in assessing sampling methods and in determining randomness of events. Those were our articles that talked about unintended consequences. So I see that quadrant, which is kind of what I was imagining as the meat of our thesis, the part of the meat of our thesis, fitting in nicely with your red, your reddish pinkish squares. I think some of the other stuff, I think the bottom half of mine, some of the miscellaneous notes and the part on prevalence of expectations probably fits with your purple, like you were saying. So in terms of the blue, the just general motivation, that could just be some of my general notes on sampling, the importance of sampling, also some of the importance of consequence, or the importance of context. I think they're organized slightly differently and they're labeled slightly differently, but I really think we have very similar ideas on these. I think we both pulled the same kind of main threads out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sort of listening here since these are your guys, but yeah, I think there's actually a lot of overlap here. I don't think it's quite as disparate as you think, Tara.
Okay.
So I think there might be a smidge of rearranging on Herla's, and there might be a few things that Herla has that you don't and you have.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's mostly there. I mean, you know, your big blue box where you're talking about, you know, why. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of the big picture of the whole study. I mean, that's kind of Herla's big picture of the whole study. You know,
yeah, I just said
although I'm having trouble reading it. So it's just, I mean, you know. So, yeah, there's a little tweaking that has got to be done, but I don't think it's quite as overwhelming.
What did you do this on, Herla?
Just Google Docs. You all could go in there and edit it right now, I believe. I think I gave you editing permission.
It says my browser doesn't support editing. That's what I was wondering.
Oh, no. Yeah, I wanted to test Google Docs and see what it would be like. And it wasn't that bad. I found it to be a little nicer than I think some of the problems Lee ran into with Word. it was much easier to change the shapes. There's just a couple of drop-down menus. You can change shape, you can change color, font size, and all of that, and you can add lines and things. So I think it was easier than dealing with Word, perhaps. It's not as dynamic as some of the, it sounded like what Felicity was talking about with some of the other software, and that, you know, when I click on a box, all that pops up is the text that I typed in that box. It doesn't, I don't know how to, like, link or anything like that. But, yeah, that's it. It's just right in Google Docs.
Maybe it's just, are you using Firefox or what's your browser?
Yeah, I use Firefox all the time as my default browser.
Maybe it's just an Internet Explorer thing. I was going to pull that bottom right corner and see if I couldn't mesh it with PowerPoint. But since I can't access a non... That's so weird. It opens it in my Photoshop program. Okay.
Huh.
Is everybody else able to edit it?
Oh, yeah. I just tried to click on... I'm not going to change it, but I tried to click on something and...
And it lets you?
It's a hard copy, so I can always get back to it.
Yeah. No.
Hey, I'm going to have to weird. Take off, unfortunately, but this looks like it's well on track.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Felicity.
See you in a couple weeks.
Thanks.
All right. Bye. All right. Well, we're still back at the question of who's going to do what. So we somehow need to combine these two.
Into a presentation-friendly format.
Yes. And I appreciate that Tara does not have the time.
Well, I have time. I just don't have I don't have a lot of time. It's ridiculous. What?
I said it sounds like you're pretty busy.
Yeah. Herla, do you want to keep, since we seem to be going with kind of your basic layout here to start with, I mean, do you have any edits that you're going to, that you feel like you want to do to yours?
Well, you know, some of my general notes on sampling and my miscellaneous notes, part of it was I didn't know how to fit them into my overall narrative. Because I guess I was really looking for more, I was doing more synthesis than narrative. And those categories, I think the synthesis kind of broke down because to some extent they're, well, they're just kind of miscellaneous or general, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe looking at it with Tara's narrative flow in mind, I could clean those up a little. But other than that, I mean, the only other thing is, you know, there's a few things where I didn't have full citations. So there's a few things where the year is missing.
Okay.
But
I have
minor.
The Ross one when I don't. I have the Ben Zvi one. I have that on mine. I pulled the full citation for it yesterday.
Awesome. Yeah,
some of the others I don't have.
Yeah, there were some. Like, I had the photocopies, but if it's a book chapter, they don't always have good citation information in it.
Ah, there we go.
I guess they're assuming you have the book in front of you.
Because I guess what I was thinking was that, I mean, I don't know what program we're going to do this in, but if we did it in PowerPoint, maybe you, Herla, could get this into a PowerPoint format. And then either Tara or I or both of us could work on doing these little pop-up post-its or whatever that Felicity was talking about.
Okay.
That way we're sort of sharing the work and not everybody I don't know. That was my idea.
Why don't we play around with the bottom right corner first and see what we can do with that in PowerPoint before we spend too much time dumping everything into PowerPoint, and why don't we see what one piece of it comes out like first?
Okay,
and then
bottom,
we can work on the others.
Wait, say again. Bottom right corner, what do you mean by bottom right
I'm
corner?
Looking at Herla's.
Yeah.
And how she divided it up into the four quadrants.
Okay.
Why don't we work on one of her quadrants in PowerPoint first and see if we like the way it's coming out before we spend the time doing the whole thing and then decide we don't like it.
Ah, that is a very good idea.
So I'm thinking if we pull her bottom right quadrant, and if you can put that into PowerPoint, and maybe if we can add a couple of, can we add one or two more boxes to include some of the articles that I have on mine?
Yeah.
That aren't here right now. And then if you send it to me, I can add the pop-up boxes with the more detailed quotes to it. And then I can email it out and see if we like it. And then if we like it, we can continue down that path.
That sounds good. What articles, so the miscellaneous notes on... What other articles should we add here?
For confirmation bias, Eva Nickerson, can we add the Alport book?
Yeah.
And under belief bias, the killer, I think you already have, although you might have it under confirmation bias. And the Lord and All article. The full references for them are, like I said, they're on my second page. But if we can add boxes for them, and then if you can send it to me, since I can't get it off of my computer in any form, other than just copying the window, which isn't going to make it interactive at all.
Yeah, I will. I'll try and get this into PowerPoint. I wonder.
But like I said, just the bottom right corner I would do first. I wouldn't worry about doing the whole thing. So I think it's going to take a while to get it into PowerPoint.
No, you can't take the whole thing and just... You have to take
I don't
a
know
piece.
How... Does Google Docs... It has an export option for what you were doing. Does it export to PowerPoint? I can't. Like I said, I can't do anything. It's just coming up as a picture for me.
Let's see, file. Download as... Well, you can download it as a PDF. PNG, JPEG, SVG, and PDF.
Yeah, this isn't real.
What I'm looking for is for PowerPoint, in order to be able to do the mouse over...
It needs to know what all the components are, doesn't it?
It needs to know the components. That's what I'm wondering, if there's a way to get it so that it sees the individual circles and sees the individual boxes and everything.
I wonder if we just have to start over again from PowerPoint.
I don't want you to have to start over. Don't worry about that.
I could try, I can ask Justin tonight. He might actually... I don't know if he'd be able to help us at all, but I can at least give it a shot. But I won't see him till later, unfortunately. So, just the menu that we're getting here, the only thing I'm getting download as, it's all picture files. Make a copy.
I just found a help file about converting PowerPoint to Google Docs. Nothing the other way around. Can you share Google Docs with PowerPoint presentation? From your presentation? Darn it. It says from your presentation, select file, download as, choose option PowerPoint, but I did not see that.
What options do you have?
PNG, JPEG, SVG, PDF. I don't know what those are. Like, I know JPEG and I know PDF.
PNG. PNG is another picture file. That's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it's opening online.
SVG. Oh, Oh, scalable vector graphics. My computer doesn't even recognize it as an extension. Well, that's a shame.
Well, we could just go with what you have.
Yeah.
I mean, how important is it to have all the details? The ones that Holly Lynn gave us really didn't have a lot of detail on them, right? The ones in the...
exactly. How much are we... I mean, this is...
That's true. I mean, the details for us, right? It might not be for this presentation. So I wonder if what we could... What it would happen if we just kind of showed both of these? Like, say, again, this is kind of the big picture overview and synthesis, and then we started to take that, starting to think about how we could work that into a narrative. This might be what the narrative might look like. So kind of just show, maybe change some titles to make the two agree.
Right.
But just show them next to each other. One, like, in succession, I guess I mean, not next to each other, but, like, one after the other.
That might work, because yours really encompasses everything that we've done for the past year. It kind of includes both of the threads that we started with, and then mine was more focused on just now, what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So maybe they would work if we showed them both.
Yeah. I don't see why not.
I mean, do they really care? They just want us to have a graphical display. We have two that work.
I think that's fine. No, I think that's fine. I mean, I don't think it's like we need the people we're presenting to leave with as much knowledge, kind of as if they had just read our lit review paper. That's probably not necessary.
I mean, isn't it really just to show them kind of what we've done and that we've...
Yeah, I really think it is more for us, you know. It's to help us move along and make sure that we really are organized in our thinking and, you know. But they're just kind of checking to make sure that we're doing these sorts of things and that we've thought about these sorts of things. So... Yeah, I kind of like Carla's as sort of the big picture ideas, and then Tara, you've got kind of an outline and really starting to sort of expound on things and really sort of move into the writing.
Yeah, she connects all the big ideas. I think we can just show both, and or just flip a coin and pick one. I think either way, they will both be perfectly suited for... the dinner that we have, and I think together they will, you know, I think together they can help us construct.
Do they even say how much time we're supposed to spend talking about this?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think they have. It is a long dinner, though. Did you notice that? 6:30 to 9?
Holy cannoli. Sharing their concept maps with the group and also giving their JSM presentation. Yeah, it doesn't say how much time.
So you have 20 minutes each for JSM presentation across four groups, right? And then there was like a synthesis. So what's 20 times 5?
Well, it's three groups.
Well, we'll all eat.
Oh, right, right. It's three groups. So there's four total, not five total. So 20 times 4. So 80 minutes for that. There's too much math involved in this. I mean, you take 6:30 and subtract off 6:30 to 9 and subtract off 80 minutes. Subtract off hopefully 60 where we just get to eat.
I was going to say, everybody just eat really slow.
Yeah. You just need to email Bob and say, how long were you imagine us talking about our concept math for?
Yeah. My guess is it's not really more than 5 or 10 minutes tops.
Probably.
All right, why is this not allowing me to type what I want to type?
Did you get my email, Lee, about doing different shapes for your text boxes?
Yes, yes. I just hadn't had a chance. I don't. In the past, when I've tried to do that, it like, and maybe I'm just doing it wrong. It'll give me the shape, then I'll type something, and then the shape like sits in front of the text. So I must not be doing it right or something.
You actually click on the shape, and then once the shape is selected, you choose add text.
Okay.
It should type right inside the shape. I do
right.
use
like,
different
okay.
shapes all the time.
All right. I swear when I've done that in the past, or something similar to that in the past, then I click off the shape, and the shape is in front of the text. And yeah, okay. I'm probably just doing it wrong.
It does that if it has an extra text box. But if you actually put the shape on first, and then you click it so that the shape is selected,
yeah.
and then you choose add text to the shape, it writes it inside.
All right. I will give it a shot. Open Word here. A research cluster dinner. Sorry, I'm doing like six things at once here. 2-7.
The one thing that I didn't do, because I wasn't sure if you wanted animations or anything, like I figured you would do background, whatever was suitable for... to your tastes, but I didn't know.
I'll try to come up with something. Something. Okay, so insert. Oh, why is this being difficult? Come on. So, all right, so I do like an oval. Okay, so you select the...
So click on the shape once it's inserted.
Okay.
And then once the shape is selected, if you right-click, you should have an insert text option.
Add text.
Right, and then it will type inside the shape.
Wow. Okay, I feel stupid.
You should never feel stupid about Word. Just don't take it personally.
No, Word does a lot of really weird things.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. All right. So do we feel like we're at a good place? Because actually I have to do another workshop at 3:30, so I got to make sure we wrap this up here in the next few minutes.
Can you, Lee, can you just do me one favor and double-check that one quote that you had pulled out where we weren't sure about the name, like the, it's like Coria or Coriat.
It's not the one I was thinking about. I looked on my reference list. I looked at a different paper yesterday.
Okay. I was just going to say, could you maybe just double-check that? Because that is actually, I realized I had attributed it to Nickerson, but that is actually one of the ones that I had taken as my definition of confirmation bias. So I want to make sure I have that.
Oh, okay. There's the Schwartz article. I just looked at my desk. Let me see. It was in the Nickerson article. Let me see if I can find my copy of the Nickerson article. No.
I have mine right here. You want me to look?
Yeah, it's somewhere. I think it was near the beginning for some reason, first few pages.
Carly, you just want the reference, or do you want to verify that the quote is from them?
I guess both.
The reference...
You got it.
Coria Lichtenstein Fish Office. The date is 1980.
1980?
Uh-huh. And the article is Reasons for Confidence.
Okay.
And it's Journal of Experimental Psychology, Human Learning and Memory is the whole journal name.
Okay, I will look at that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So then, Lee, I know you got to get off here. When are we talking next? What do we need to do before that call? Do we need to talk before JSM one last time? Can we handle things via email? I know you are going to send out slides. It sounds like we're pretty much going to leave the concept maps as is. And then either just flip a coin and pick one to show, or if we have time, maybe show both briefly.
Do we want to try? Do we want to make any effort to combine them since Felicity seemed to indicate that that might be what we should do? Should we make an effort?
We can try.
Well, let me talk to Justin tonight, see if he can figure out how we could, because I really don't want to make Herla redo that entire thing.
No, me neither.
So let me just talk to him, see if there's any way to get it into PowerPoint where you don't lose the different pieces. But if not, I say we just go with the two separate ones and leave it at that. If there is an easy way to do it, then maybe we try to do the pop-up boxes.
Okay.
That would be my suggestion. But if it really is going to involve a whole bunch of work where you got to redo the whole thing, I say forget about it. We just do the two separate ones.
I agree.
Okay. That sounds good. So, Lee, we are waiting to hear back from you on two fronts. One is the compatibility between Docs and PowerPoint, and the other are edits to the research presentation for PowerPoint.
Yes. That is all.
All right. That sounds good.
Yeah,
and then we don't have another call scheduled before JSM, unless the need arises via email.
Maybe we should schedule our August one via email, since we haven't had Holly Lynn or Randy at the last few. Maybe we should.
I think that's a good idea.
What are our roles for next month anyway? I don't even know.
We've sort of been winging it since we've only got the three of us. And
I know. Yeah. And we haven't, everything's kind of been recorded within a Google Doc, so we haven't really needed to do recorder and all of that. I technically organized this one, so I think I would shift to moderator. Beyond that, I have no idea.
We didn't really do recorder. I mean, I sent out I wouldn't even know if I called a synopsis. I sent out the email realizing I hadn't done it, and
that's fine.
One morning I'm like, crap, I never sent out an email, so I quick did it, but I don't know. I guess we can decide that by email, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll just make a note that in the email that we need to decide on an August conference call and figure out what the heck our roles are. Roles. So we'll get that going. But, I assume sometime after JSM, and preferably sometime before classes begin.
Hopefully.
We can debrief JSM.
Sounds good.
All right.
Well, Sarah, good luck with your classes and things.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck with the 11 chapters or whatever it is. Good Lord.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. That's what it is.
Like it.
I got 4 chapters in my qualitative methods course and 7 chapters in my design of experiments course.
Oh, I hated qualitative methods.
I actually like that. I don't like design of experiments. The professor he's new, and it's not his area of expertise. And he can't answer any of our questions, and we're using lectures from a different professor who we're not allowed to contact. So it's like, pretty much on our own.
Clearly is a good idea.
Yeah.
Herla, when are you getting to? Oh, I have your phone number, I suppose I can just.
Yeah, I know it. I get in sometime on the 31st. I don't know the time off the top of my head.
All right. And yeah, our thing's the 2nd, so I'm going to beat on the 1st, but okay. So, because I'm actually going to be in Seattle the night of, because I'm flying into Seattle and then driving up on the train Sunday morning. So.
Do you need passports or do you guys have a TANF driver's license?
I needed a passport.
I got my passport. So.
Do you have a TANF driver's license in Ohio?
No, I think you have to have a passport now because of the whole thing.
In New York we can use enhanced driver's license to get across. It's some special license that you can use.
No, I don't know. I hadn't heard of that. I just assumed that I had to get my passport, because I just got my passport renewed. So.
Yeah, I was just thinking, because if you're going across in Seattle, I wonder if you can fly into Seattle and use, like in New York, if I could use my enhanced driver's license to get across in Seattle.
Hmm.
I was thinking. I don't know why, but that's weird.
Well, I used to be able to just get, obviously, because we used to go up to Windsor years ago. But, yeah, we used to go across the river at Detroit, and we used to just have, you know, our driver's licenses. We didn't have to do anything. But then after September 11th, everything changed. And so, yeah, now they were all very picky about passports and all the rest of it. So, and mine had expired,
yeah,
like 3 years ago. So.
Well, that's, mine's expired, too. But like I said, in New York State, they sent out these things that you can get special enhanced driver's license in place of passports.
Hmm.
So I was just wondering if they worked elsewhere outside of New York State or if they just got me across here.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's odd.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh. All right.
It's almost 3:30.
Yep. Yeah, I got to run to the thing and then back. All right, it was a fun day. Anyway, so, all right. So, yeah, I guess I will just be in email contact with you guys. So.
Sounds good.
All right. Talk
all
to
right.
you later.
All right.
Bye.
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 Thank you. Please stand by.